And hearts were lifted this week as the youngster caught up in that heartbreaking tug of love finally returned to the family home. Amanda Holden went back to Les Dennis.
Dead Ringers. And welcome to Who Wants to Not Be a Millionaire? First up tonight, it's Lord Levy. He's a Labour supporter, Lord. Are you ready?
Yes, Chris.
Okay, you know the rules. You start off with a tax bill of £1 million, but by answering correctly, you can reduce that bill to zero. Which of these is a popular location for stashing money? Is it A, the Shetland Islands, B, the Balearic Islands, C, the Falkland Islands, teehee, you can always trust a penguin, or is it D, the Cayman Islands?
I'll go D, Chris.
Is that your final demand?
Yes.
It's outrageous. You go away with a £5,000 tax bill. And before you go, couldn't give me the name of your accountants, could you?
Barry McGuigan here, and you join me in the final stages of the Mike Tyson fight, and there, one more punch you do it, and there it is. Tyson is down, and I don't think he'll be getting up again. Harry Carpenter's down there now talking to the winner.
Thank you very much indeed, Barry McGuigan. Awesome fight there. You finished him off in 3 seconds. You must be feeling superhuman.
Well, Harry, I will say this. Tyson is a pussycat. It's all down to my training, you see. 2 hours a week with the Women's Institute. Knitting, baking, crocheting our own jam. And of course, you see, we had that warm-up bout with Tony Mad Dog Blair a couple of weeks ago. So I say to Iron Mike, I'll iron you. I've got a Tefal Superglide and I'm not afraid to use it.
The new heavyweight champion of the world, there. I could take her, her and Tyson. Anytime. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I'm Brian Perkins. Don't diss with me.
And this week in From Our Own Correspondent, I'm reporting personally from a region blighted by natural catastrophe, whose inhabitants soldier on despite tragedy, hitting them at every turn. As I walked through the strife-torn village of Ambridge, I noticed a young woman we'll call Ruth, who has just been told her condition has worsened and that the doctors are going to have to remove the rest of her personality.
Scream all the time!
One family I spoke to have suffered more than most. The treatment of the Grundy household has brought condemnation from Amnesty International, the European Court of Human Rights, and the Wurzels.
Where's this muck I've got for my tea, Clary?
Oh, a day! You know we can only afford to eat sand and boil cobblestone since we lost the farm. You lost your job and Joe went mad and killed the ferrets and ended up clinging to life in hospital and my head fell off.
Your head what?
Oh, sorry, that must be next week's depressing storyline. Oh, maybe not.
The world can only listen on helplessly as these innocent country folk are traumatised by those who will probably never be punished. In fact, many of them will get off with a 6-month contract on family affairs. This is Kate AD on the bloody fields of Ambridge. Consonant. Vowel. Consonant. Consonant. That's what a builder shouted that he wanted to do to me on my way to the studio this morning.
Anyway, it's fallen to me to explain this complicated new coding system that scientists have this week finally unravelled after years and years of research, study and analysis. The actual meaning and structure behind these codes is mind-bogglingly complicated and difficult, but if you listen carefully, I'll try and talk down to you. The whole construction and configuration of these highly complex codes boils down to this. Outside London, it's 0208. While inner London is 0207.
Hello, is that the taxi company?
Yes.
Excellent. I am the doctor. Greetings to you.
All right, greetings to you, sir.
Thank you very much. I need a taxi, please.
Okay, where are you, sir?
I need to go to the planet Florana. Do you know how long it will take me to get there?
I don't know because I don't know where you are.
Florana.
Fortunately, I've got no drivers around there.
Really, Florana is a very beautiful place. It neighbours Inter Minor at the far reaches of the Actian Galaxy. Surely you have a driver who can take me there.
Where are you? What's the address now?
I'm on my home planet of Gallifrey.
Unfortunately, I haven't got any drivers situated at all.
No drivers in the constellation of Castabra? Surely you must have some. How long do you think before a driver might be available?
Maybe about 45 minutes.
So how much for this journey, my dear?
That would be about £8.50.
Very reasonable.
BBC Radio 4. And now, letter from America.
Good morning. Fifty-eight years I've been writing to you. Week in, week out. And I still haven't had a single reply.
Welcome to 999 Soap Star Rescues with me, Michael Burke. This week, Curly Watts saved a drowning man. But that's simply the tip of the Soap Star Rescuing iceberg. Witness this reconstruction.
Help! Help! I'm trapped in this burning building!
Roy, love, quick, call the fire brigade. I'm going in to save that man. Hold on, love. Pat will save you. Jump, and my enormous breasts will cushion the fall. Bugger, he's bounced back in.
Or what about this amazing rescue by Coronation Street's Fred Elliott?
I say. There's a boy trapped down this here well, and I figured if I just keep talking with this painfully ludicrous Lancashire accent for hours on end, he'll either go mad or crawl out of his own accord.
Yes, welcome back to the third test between England and South Africa. We're bringing you live coverage from here, betting shop in East Pakistan. Tony Lewis.
Well, so away we go. Here's the first delivery, and that first brown envelope is pitched right up into the... pitched right up into the South African's pocket. Jeff Boycott.
Well, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. That really is bad technique, is that? I mean, £5,000, you're not going to bribe players at this level day in, day out, unless you've got a bit more in the locker room than that.
Well, what I think is sad is that cricket matches are being decided by Asian betting syndicates, and when they could be really decided by good old-fashioned Lancashire betting syndicates, what about them for a change, you know? Where are the young British fraudsters waiting, you know, to come through at international level?
Well, David, I can't say I blame the schools, you see. There's simply no money anywhere to teach young kids about the basics of a massive conspiracy and match-fixing.
Hello, I'm Johnny Vaughan. Hollywood recently twisted history by showing Americans breaking the Enigma code in the film U571. There are rumours that the British film industry will get its own back. American wartime stories will be especially adapted for the British market.
Welcome to Vietnam, sir. He's settling in all right, Colonel?
No, I bloody not. Look, I wake up every day and there's this revolting stench.
Yeah, well, that'll be the smell of napalm in the morning.
Haven't they heard of air freshener? Right, men, the British Army's here in Vietnam to flush out these damn commie Viet Cong, and it's not going to be easy.
Well, no, that's right, sir. This isn't a training exercise. This is a war, boys.
Mrs. War, boys? What the bloody hell is she doing here? Right, men, get into that helicopter. Watch this. Some bastards put a pizza delivery leaflet on the helicopter windscreen. It's nowhere safe from these people.
Are you free, Mr. Humphreys?
I'm free, Miss McGregor. In a moment, something interesting. But first, another dose of pious, patronizing garbage. Thought for the day. And today's purveyor of vacuous platitudes is Rabbi Lionel Blue.
Well, hello, and a very good morning to you, James. And a good morning to you, Sue. And good morning, Charlotte. And good morning, Brian. And good morning to whoever is doing the weather. And good morning to all of you. Last week, I'm afraid, I did a very bad thing. I forgot to say good morning to everyone before I started my thought for the day. So before I start this week's thought for the day, I'd just like to say quickly yet, I'm very sorry to you, James, and I'm sorry, Sue, and I'm sorry, Charlotte, and I'm sorry, Brian, and I'm sorry whoever was doing the weather, and I'm sorry to all of you. Now, my thought for the day is this. Oh, by the way, if anyone's just tuned in, good morning to you. My thought for the day is this. Time. There never seems to be enough of it, and that's all the time I've got for now. So, goodbye to you, James, and goodbye, Sue, and goodbye, Charlotte, and goodbye, Brian, and goodbye to whoever's doing the weather, and goodbye to all of you.
And there'll be more absolute tosh every day on Thought for the Day, until someone has this thought. Let's pack it in.
Greg Rosetsky, very disappointing to go out in the first round of Wimbledon.
Oh, I did it on purpose, Sue. Going out in the first round was the only way I could prove that I really am British.
Well, hello and welcome to Counterpoint Radio 4's highbrow music quiz. And our three contestants are Mr. Flange, a retired postmaster from Taunton. Mrs. O'Driscoll, a retired postmistress from Taunton. And Mr. Knightley, a retired postbox from Taunton. We start the first round with Mr. Flange. Mr. Flange, who wrote Beethoven's Fifth Symphony?
Beethoven.
Correct. Mr. Knightley, a question for you. Who wrote Mozart's Horn Concerto?
Mozart.
Correct. Your question, Mrs. O'Driscoll. And what is the third note of bar 29 in Prokofiev's Second Piano Concerto?
I've no idea, but I mean, how come my question is so much harder than the others?
Well, there's a very simple reason for that, Mrs. O'Driscoll, and we don't like girls, do we, chaps?
No, we don't.
Yaru, they always seem to have holes in their knickers, and they can't climb trees and join us on Wizzo adventures, so...
This is ridiculous. I'm off.
Good. We don't like spoiled sports, and you're an absolute rotter, Mr. Knightley, so pie and pudding, bacon and peas... Mr. Knightley has got fleas, and so for the next round, it's tig-off ground, and then all home for tea and scones. Bear in mind, Mrs. O'Driscoll, if you're very good, I might just show you my little dinky. Hurrah!
Hello, is that the New York Hilton?
That's correct.
Hi there, how you doing? It's Jerry Springer. I just wanted to make some reservations for myself.
Sure.
Okay, this is for 2 weeks tomorrow. Can you accommodate me?
It would be, so you're speaking of, it would be the 28th Wednesday of June, correct? For 14 nights? Okay, and just one room?
Can you also make a reservation for Candy and Lula, who are two exotic dancers?
Let's see if I have availability. One moment, please.
Could you accommodate also Raul, who's cheating on Candy with Lula, but Candy doesn't...
Are they going to be staying in either one of the rooms, either in Candy's room or Lula's room?
Hopefully not together, otherwise things could get a bit out of hand, but... Could you also accommodate Larry, who is Raul's best friend, who's also dating Lula behind Raul's back and cheating on Lula with Candy? You could? That's fantastic.
Sure. Okay, I have availability starting on the 29th of June for 14 nights, but nothing coming in on the 28th.
Could you also accommodate Roderick, who's convinced he's a turtle?
Yes.
That's fantastic. How about Amber, who is married to a horse?
Will the horse be coming, too?
If possible, we'd like to get the horse along and maybe have the marriage ceremony in your hotel ballroom.
Well, pets over, I believe it's 15 pounds are not allowed in the hotel.
Really? Well, you know...
Well, I know it is a husband, but it still is considered an animal, so therefore the maximum weight is 15 pounds.
Can we book a large ballroom just in case there's a fight with everybody?
I can make reservations for Candy, Lula, Raul, Larry, Roderick, Amber, and you so far.
Now, can I change my name to begin?
Sure. What name do you want to put in there?
Let's see. Hands.
Hands. Okay.
Hands that do dishes.
That do dishes. Okay.
Gary Lineker here. Welcome to Match of the Day. Now, it's fair to say now that England have been knocked out. We don't really give a monkeys about Euro 2000, so tonight we thought we'd concentrate on the tennis. Alan, your thoughts on the game so far?
Well, again, an English team crashing out at an early stage, Gary. And with a look at the replay, this fella here, Ruzetsky, I mean, he starts off with the ball, but immediately he gives it away. I mean, you've got to say that's sloppy. I mean, fortunately he gets it back, but he gives it away. Gets it back, gives it away. Gets it back, gives it away. Doesn't control it very well at all. I mean, if it hadn't been for that stick thing, it would have been a definite handball. I mean, somehow he regains possession and then boom, straight into the net. Great goal. Although what the net is doing in the middle of the pitch is anyone's guess.
And with the time at 7:10, we're joined in the radio car by the Prime Minister. Mr. Blair, are you worried about your plunging popularity?
Well, wary expression, furrowed brow. There's simply no evidence that the voters consider me to be anything less than wonderful.
Well, if I could just stop you there, Prime Minister, I've been joined in the studio by a statistical expert who's been poring over the latest ICM figures.
Yes, well, I'm sure he'll have good news. Good day, PM. I'm afraid it's bad news. Your performances at the dispatch box were just too feeble. Your speech to the WI just too weak. And despite little Alistair Campbell doing all he could, the love and affection the public once had for you just passed away in the night. Oh, it's really sad.
All right, nice one, mad for it. All right. Hey, right, you know, we've got a problem, you know, because, you know, well, Noel, right, he's saying he won't play Nowhere Foreign no more, like, you know.
So what are we going to do then, Liam?
I found someone else called Noel.
Good morning, dear boys. How exquisite to make our acquaintance. And here's a little ditty I've penned regarding your erstwhile brother's strange refusal to play in foreign climes.
Yeah, right, mad for it sorted. Let's hear it, Al Noel.
Mad for dogs, an Englishman won't play in the midday sun. In Japan, he doesn't care to. In China, he doesn't dare to. In India and Canada, he won't play with anyone. This Englishman abhors world tours. In In the Philippines, the video screens aren't showing Noel Gallagher, nor the ones in New Hong Kong, the Bulacan or Malaga. When he got to Spain, he took cocaine and no further work was done, because Maverick dogs and Englishmen won't play in the midday sun.
Go let it out!
Goodness me, our kid, do stop that racket or one will be forced to deck one.
Hello, I'm Johnny Vaughan, back with Movie Watch. If I didn't need the money, I wouldn't be doing this show, honest. After the phenomenal success of Nick Park's Chicken Run in the United States, Hollywood is clambering to find the next quintessentially Yorkshire-based comedy to give the big screen treatment. Nicholson and De Niro in Last of the Summer Wine.
Hey, Foggy. Whoa. I want to ask you something. I couldn't help but noticing that I am strapped into this big freaking tin bath with wings stuck to my freaking back. I was standing on top of a big freaking hill. So what are you gonna do?
Well, Campo, I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna push your tin-plated ass down this hill. And you're gonna go hurtling past various extras who rub their eyes and drop their thermos flasks in amazement.
You talking to me, Foggy? Huh?
Well, I don't see any other lovable northern stereotypes around. Huh? And what's more, you're gonna go down that goddamn hill every week for the next freaking 25 years
until somebody laughs.
BBC Radio 4. Coming up next is the food programme. Not with Derek Cooper, though. Oh, no. You see, he made the mistake of mentioning organic box schemes just once too often for my liking. So I did him. Be a long time before he's peeling his own kumquats again.
I was sharing a pot of Earl Grey with Thora Heard the other day, after the bring-and-buy sale, when a man came on the wireless saying scientists had successfully cracked the human DNA code, and thus the secret of life. Thora placed her crumb-laden saucer back onto the hostess trolley. When will they ever learn, Alan? She sighed as she straightened out a dolly on the tall boy next to her. That when people interfere with the mysteries of human existence, they do so at their own peril. I nodded in solemn agreement, and my mind was cast back to a cold January evening in 1952, the year I constructed Thora from stolen body parts. Procured from a cemetery just outside Homefirth. I just strapped her lifeless form to the trolley and was preparing to winch her up into the electrical storm that was raging overhead. And then there was a knock on the door. It was Mr. Pettiforth from number 42. He'd managed to find me a healthy human brain from a nearby research facility. So, after thanking him for his kindness, I proceeded to sew it into Thora's vacant cranium with, if I do say so myself, quite a professional-looking chain stitch. If only I'd known then that far from the brain of a kindly benevolent woman of a certain age, Mr. Pettiforth had mistakenly obtained the brain of a homicidal axe murderer. So, as I look up to see Thora leaping out of our front room window with a blood-curdling howl, and I load up my tranquilizer gun, I say to those scientists with the genome code, think long and hard before you start playing God, or you may wake up one morning to find a kindly presenter of songs of praise standing over you with an axe raised rather menacingly. I know I have.
Hello and welcome to Moneybox. No, don't fall asleep. Today's phone-in is all about looking after your money, and my first caller is a Mr. Frank Skinner.
Hello there, Alison. Last year, I made £7 million.
Oh, I like you already. What's the problem?
Oh, there's no problem. I just thought I'd phone up and tell as many people as possible.
BBC Radio 4. Now, a book at bedtime. Anne Widdecombe reads her latest novel, Love Means Never Having to Say You're a Tory.
Anne, the gorgeous pouting virgin, reclined onto the half-moon-shaped bed, her lustrous black hair spread like a halo on the silken pillow beneath her head. Her blue silk-clad bosoms rose and fell like the soft undulation of waves crashing on the beach at sunrise. Her mouth opened in anticipation of the lips that would eventually caress hers. Climbing the marble stairway was the unmistakable sound of strong, masculine footsteps. Her lover was just moments away. Her heartbeat quickened. The door creaked open slowly, like a slowly opening creaking door. There he stood, framed in the doorway. He looked at her with piercing blue eyes, then rushed towards the bed, gathering her up in his powerful arms and uttered the words she'd yearned to hear.
Anne, do you want to hear my policy on the single currency?
I'm Johnny Vaughan, and this is Movie Watch. And with the news that a new Doctor Who film with a brand new Doctor is underway, written by the man behind Channel 4's gay drama Queer as Folk, we here at Movie Watch have this preview.
So, Doctor, at last, I have you in my grasp. I, Davros, shall crush you, and then I will destroy your planet Earth.
Oh, well, good gracious, I think Captain Peacock will have something to say about that.
Silence, Doctor! Or you shall feel the full force of my galactic ultra-high velocity disintegrator.
Oh, if only I could. Now, come along here, let's measure your inside leg and be done with it. Oh, you've got no legs, have you? Never mind, I'll just measure your wheels.
Get away from me!
And I do love that bold green look you've gone for. Sets off your wrinkly, miserable old face a treat. You look like young Mr. Grace. Oh, you've got terrible skin, mind.
I will have you eliminated. Daleks, are you free?
I'm free! Doctor, prepare to be destroyed! Oh, I say I do like what you have done with your hair!
Oh, well, thank you ever so much, dear. I've just been telling poor old Davros he needs to do something about his skin.
I know, but you can't tell him. I even bought some apricot facial scrub from the Body Shop!
You've been listening to Dead Ringers, starring John Coleshaw, Phil Cornwell, Jan Ravens and Kevin Connolly. The associate producer was Adam Bromley, and it was produced by Bill Durr. The writers were John Holmes and Andy Hurst, Neff Fountain and Tom Jameson, Simon Blackwell, Jess Foster, Ashley Baroda, Lawrence Houth, Dave Cohen and Paul McKenzie, Sean Pye, Steve Punt, Steve Parry, Richard Webb, Rupert Russell, Henry Naylor, Martin Smith, Alison Todd, Magic Bob and Jeffrey Stubson.